Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Actually, hold on. Before we have a hair tip, this is recording. I want to ask you a question because I was thinking about it whenever you were telling your last case, but I didn't want to interrupt you.
What?
Would you rather when you're a ghost, I'm not even going to say if, when you're a ghost, okay. Do you want to be a shadow person ghost that just does like weird shit, like turns off lights and...
But like I'm an intelligent haunting?
Yes.
Okay, but so like I have autonomy, I can go, I can fuck with people if I want to.
Yes, like you know what's going on, but like you're not seen.
Okay.
Or would you...
But I'm a shadow person.
But
so,
you're a shadow person. Or would you rather be a ghost that can like fully materialize and like speak to people and interact with people, but your like powers to do weird shit you don't have as much of because you can like be seen?
Like, it takes a lot of energy for me to, like, fully manifest. Yeah.
Which one of those would you rather be? This is where my ADD went.
Well, I feel like maybe being a shadow person would be more fun.
Yes.
And I'm not very vain. So I don't really give a shit what I look like.
Right.
I mean, I'd be a black blob running around. That's pretty much what I am in my daily life. All black, running around. So, yeah, put my scary ass as a shadow person.
I would be fine being a shadow person because if I wanted, like, talk to somebody, then I could, like, type on the computer or, like, write on
there. Do some Stranger Things
Like, absolutely. Yeah. So I would be fine being a shadow person.
I think so, too, yeah.
And this is the kind of, I want everybody to know that if we weren't together and I had this conversation, like, this in my head, I was like, huh. I would literally text Randa and be like, hey, would you rather be a shadow person or a ghost? Mm-hmm. So this is what lives inside of my brain, people.
Ta-da! Da-da-da-da-da-da! But, okay, so I'm talking a smidge before we hit record and we got on the ghost tangent. We were talking about, like, sometimes your hair just be dirty as hell, y'all.
I hit the red on that one when I laughed. Yeah, I'm the queen. I will sit here and I will preach to my clients and I'll preach it to y'all all the time. I'm the queen. I will wash my hair once a week and I don't care to admit that to people because I have horse hair. But sometimes I be letting it go over.
Actually, I was like, yeah, I got the shower yesterday and I was like, I'm only washing my hair one time. I'm not doing it twice. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this, Grandpa. Too damn. And so I put just like a shit ton of shampoo in my hand and then I tried to lather it up and it still didn't lather with way too much shampoo. I said, oh no, we will have to go twice.
Shoo. And I said I had to shampoo my hair three times and I don't care to admit that.
Sometimes it just be like that.
So, do you want me to do the witches since we're talking about ghosts and all this stuff?
Sure.
Okay. Well... So, I read a book, and it is called Doctoring the Devil, Appalachian Backwoods Witchcraft. First, I'm going to tell you one about 10 Mile. So,
oh, okay, right up the road, Paul.
Yes, the story is about Sadie Baker. And the story goes that there was the Shelton family that lived there. Uh-huh. And the Shelton family had the just most beautiful daughters in the entire county. Like, they were it. And
a great beauty.
A great beauty. And Olivia was the perfect, just beautiful. She was honest. She was kind. She was a friend to all. I just imagine like Snow White.
Yeah.
In my head. Mm-hmm. So Olivia came across this beggar girl one day. And this beggar girl was like ratty and her clothes were dirty and her hair was all tatted up. And she was just gross, living outside.
She was a stray.
And so Olivia took the girl in. She cleaned her up. But the thing is, the girl didn't speak.
Okay.
She would not say a word. So after she gets the girl all cleaned up, they realize that the girl's fucking gorgeous. And all the men in town are obsessed with the new girl. And so this is affecting the Shelton's girls' marriage eligibility.
They have been the hottest shit in town.
Right.
And now this bitch shows up. They're nice to her. And she takes the glory.
Right. So Olivia's mama is not having that. She does not like that. So as one did back then, she said that the girl was a witch. That's the only way that every man in town could want her.
Is our new friend still mute here?
Yep. Not saying anything. And then that makes her even more mysterious. Of course the men wanted her. Like, they not...
A wife that doesn't talk? Hell yeah, brother.
This is a small town in the middle of the mountains. Not new people come in that often, I'm sure. So, of course the men wanted her. They're like, okay, well, if she's a witch, then we're going to have to do something about it. So they drug her into an open hole to bury her alive by covering her in stones, which is the only way they could get rid of her for forever. Right before they threw her in, she said, "I am Sadie Baker." That was the last thing and only thing she said. They threw her in there.
Where are your people at?
Nobody knows where she even came from. Olivia goes on, she gets married, and then one day just goes mad. She accused her husband of wanting to be with Sadie instead of her. She cut off all her hair and tried to become Sadie. Where Sadie is buried, there was just a single headstone engraved with only her name. And over time, they see a ghostly figure of a young girl near the grave. But it's not known if it's Sadie herself or if it's Olivia haunting Sadie's grave. Still trying to be Sadie.
I'd like to say that Sadie probably got her revenge. I'll say that right now.
Oh, yeah. And that's one thing it says is when she went, there was no medical reason for her to go crazy. So I hope that Sadie was shaking her bed every single night. The next one is a woman named Witch Magaha. She lived in what's now the national park up the Sevierville area. But that was before it was a national park. And there was a woman that lived there that they called Witch Magaha or Squad Magaha. All the neighbors hated her because she was always asking to borrow other people's shit. But when they ever needed to borrow something, she would not. She's like, no, fuck you, it's mine. But if she needed sugar, she was going to come to your house. So that pissed everybody off. Nobody liked that. Well, her biological sister, one day was like, you know what?
Her sister was a witch's friend. And what was her sister? A witch. Get educated.
That's so funny. But her sister, Nance, tried to steal some of her apples. And Witch Magaha did not like that.
On her own sister.
On her own sister. She sent devils in the form of squirrels after her. And this woman, squirrels were chasing her. And every time she'd turn around, there'd be like double the amount of squirrels. The amount of squirrels. So they literally scratched and ate her to death as she got to the threshold of the doorway of her own home.
Had a horde of squirrel familiars that she sicked on her sister.
And killed her sister on her porch.
And the squirrels just ate her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just. I hope both of those showed up on the audio. But yeah. All right. The next one is John Hendricks, the prophet of Oak Ridge.
Oh, great. Oh, well, there with the nuclears. Yeah. Okay.
So he was born in 1865, and in his early 20s, he married a woman named Juliana. They had four kids together, and they lived on this hill that's located now at the present-day site of Bull Run Fossil Plant in Claxton, Tennessee. Their two-year-old daughter died of diphtheria, and the mom was saying that the dad was at fault for the child dying because he had spanked the daughter right before she became sick. And Juliana, the mom, was convinced him spanking her is what made the little girl get the sickness and die. She takes the kids and she leaves. So he decides just to turn to prayer. What he did was for 40 days and 40 nights, he slept outside in the forest.
So he had himself a little pilgrimage.
Yes. And he saw visions. And he said these visions were about the future of Oak Ridge. He said, Bear Creek Valley someday will be filled with great buildings and factories, and they will help Ford winning the greatest war that will ever be. Big engines will build big ditches, and thousands of people will be running to and fro. They will be building things, and there will be great noise and confusion, and the earth will shake. I've seen it coming. It's leading people to believe that he knew that Oak Ridge would play such a big part of World War II. So 3,000 people were living in what became known as Oak Ridge. They were forced to leave their homes in 1942. And the reason was the government had chosen the site for the nuclear production of the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. The other thing that he prophesied correctly was that the L&N Railroad would be coming in and that cargo would be carried through the air. The next one is about sisters. Sister witches.
Twitches.
It's Irene and Drusilla. They lived in Virginia, in Scott County, Virginia. And it actually is now Hilton's, Virginia, and Bloomingdale, Tennessee. So growing up, they were always in trouble. Everyone was scared shitless of them. They were inseparable, and weird stuff happened around them. When they were both married and had kids, they would go off together for like hours and just disappear. Nobody knew where these sisters went. They were both midwives.
Which pretty much almost always got you labeled as some kind of a witch.
They also did charms. But the thing is about their charms is they were one of those that if they gave you something good, something bad was going to happen too. So you would like gain affections of your lover, but become infertile. Or a man would win every game.
That makes me wonder who they were working with.
Or like a man would be luckier in gambling, but then every hand he won, he got sicker. After a while, the few hours every day ended up turning into weeks and days and months gone at a time. And when they would come back, they would abuse their kids. They'd be horrible to their husbands to the point to where they were both like, if y'all want to go be in the fucking woods together, go be in the woods together. Just like, leave us alone. So they go out to the woods. They only came into town whenever they needed something. But now there was like a dozen dogs that have started following them everywhere they would go, including into town when they would come. The hunters swore that the dogs were demons in disguise and that the Powell sisters would have sometimes unnatural relations with them to the devil's bidding up. So one day, Drusilla went out the well to get water while Irene was out at the store, and the dogs turned on her and just tore her to shreds. Supposedly, this was the payment for their power and the end of a contract. So when Irene came home, she found her sister torn into pieces, and she hung herself from the tree. The people who found them buried them in the McMurray Cemetery just right outside of the town. Since then, there's been stories that you can sometimes hear them screaming and beating at the tops of their coffins with the occasional song of a stressed rope from a nearby tree. And the dogs disappeared. They never returned.
How do you have hellhounds and then they're going to turn on you?
But if it was no sense. If it was the end of the contract, they were like, your powers are done. So we're going to take your life. Mammy Wise. She lived on the North Carolina border in Washington and Carter counties back then. That's not what it is now, though. Now it's Unicoi County. She was tall and heavy set with long, coarse black hair that looked like hemp rope, small dark eyes, Melungeon and Indian blood. She was a curer. She would cure babies with like thrush and colic. Back then, they said that if you had those abilities, that's because your father died before you were born. There were also theories that she could have been a seventh daughter, which is why she could cure and why she could see.
Seventh of the line of a seventh of the line is supposed to be the most powerful.
But she not only healed and saw visions, but she knew what caused ailments. She saw a vision of the Civil War coming. She said this vision happened when she saw the night sky filled with stars, but a bright star in the north fell and clashed with a bright star in the south, which she interpreted as a war between the north and the south. Well, I looked into it. Just before the war in 1861, there really was a comet known as the War Comet or the Great Comet of 1861. So she actually really did see this. So she could also find thieves. One story is that a woman's pride jeweled necklace had been stolen, so she traveled across the state to meet Mammy. And Mammy got the names of the suspects on a piece of paper. Then she put it snug at the bottom of a pot of boiling water, which she dropped crawfish into. And she said her enchantments. And then the breast of the crawfish opened up and out whizzed the name that was on the list. She also made people love potions, but she would always warn them that they had to keep the bottle in their hands until they got all the way home. Because if they didn't keep it in their hands, the spirits would get out of the bottle and fly back to her. Granny Hackle lived in Turkey Town community, which is now actually unofficially called Granny Hackle Ridge. She moved there in the 1700s, riding on a black stallion accompanied by two men. They came across a sheep right there. You're going to build my cabins right there. So they built the cabin for her, and then they both died of unknown causes. Then she started delivering babies. But her thing was she never had to be called to give birth. She'd just show up. She'd be like, hey, so I see you're in labor. And they'd be like, we didn't call you. And she'd be like, I know.
The baby did.
So children were her specialty. They said that she was so good at her work, she could just heal any wound by just looking at it. Her presence and power were so well known that they had super strong winds in the ridge, which is awesome because it gets hot as fuck here, right? So they say now to this day at the top of the ridge, there are still really weirdly strange, strong winds. And that you can hear gospel choir singing. Mm-hmm. Whenever they started going up there and looking for things, they actually found remains of cabins, spring houses, a church, and a cemetery there. So chances are Granny Hackle really did exist.
I bet she did.
People from that community, how many of like their grandparents could have been delivered by her?
Oh, yeah.
Great grandparents, I guess.
Probably most of them.
So I only told you a couple of them. There are way more in this book, but it goes deep. It tells you like how to do charms and protections and stuff like that. I don't feel like I'm properly equipped to tell people that. So anyone who wants to know how to do that kind of stuff, the book is Doctoring the Devil, Appalachian Backwoods Witchcraft. I read it on my little Kindle reader.
You know what a really good like little like protection prosperity thing is that is so easy. Anybody can do it.
Tell us.
Take a little bit of cinnamon and blow it through your doorway or mop your floors with cinnamon in the water.
There we go.
It also make your house smell real good.
Look at that. There we go. So if you want to get into granny magic, then get into granny magic.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.